So we get started with our next topic, and this is one of my. This is actually maybe I shouldn't have disparaged mandamus before, and now I'm gonna. But I'm not gonna disparage standard review, because the truth is, I think all of us as appellate practitioners recognize standard review becomes this increasingly important thing, because it's really about how you frame the whole enchilada, all your arguments. So standard review is always a good place to start, obviously. Certainly when you write opinions, but when you're an advocate. And our next speaker who's going to talk about standards review is Michelle Townsend. I had the honor and the pleasure of working with Michelle and she's not here either. So this is going to be, you're right there. Okay, thanks. Good. So the lack of food makes it hard for me to focus. So she's a blur right now. But I had the honor and pleasure of working with her in Harris County in the appellate division there. And she makes the best cake pops. I swear to God, they're so delicious. And that just shows that I'm very hungry. But no, she's also very, very smart. She now is, she works in Ector County remotely, I believe. She can explain that to y'all better. But she has a lot of insight. I'm very glad that she agreed to come speak for us. So please give it up for Michelle Townsend.
Good afternoon. I'm so glad that I got y'all for the lunchtime nap lull, so you'll be really tuned out. Like Britt Lindsay, I am the one and only, so maybe instead of assistant district attorney, I should really petition my boss, the elected DA, for a much cooler title. but we'll see. So today, I do want to run through standards of review with you. It will be pretty quick. I'll probably talk pretty quick. My contact information is in the paper, though, email, and that's actually my cell phone number, because it has happened on more than one occasion that someone has called the office's main line to try and reach me, and they've been told that they have no idea who I am and I don't work there. So, standards of review are important, I would submit to you, because they promote efficiency. You get that balance of power between your trial court and your reviewing court. So the more deferential the standard, the more power the trial court's going to retain. They're also a measuring stick for you as the practitioner to gauge what you think the merits and how valuable any given issue or argument would be. Once you've gone through the record and you've pointed out things to yourself that you may want to bring up on appeal, they should also be a lens through which you're focusing your argument, because quite frankly, I think they determine the success of most arguments on appeal. And so they should be the starting point of your analysis. I think because unlike the federal rules of appellate procedure, do not require you to actually set out a standard of review in your brief. But I think you're really missing an opportunity if you don't. And it results in two things. I think a lot of practitioners just completely avoid it. They argue the facts, which in some cases may work, but in most it doesn't. And if they're not completely avoiding it, then they're just reciting it without any application. So boilerplate right there at the beginning, and then you never hear about it again, you never see the language of it again, when really it should be woven through your entire argument, and you should come back to it whenever you're making your conclusion at the end of your point of error. So with this in mind, let's embark on a quick overview of standards of review and what we can do with them to hopefully formulate persuasive, effective briefs. The first thing we're going to talk about is reviewing trial court rulings, and I have grouped abuse of discretion, clearly erroneous, and great deference all into one, because if you look at the way these standards are defined in the cases that utilize them, your chance of prevailing on an issue that is subject to this standard of review is all pretty much the same. And that is to say that these standards do not in and of themselves preclude relief, but I don't think it's a stretch to say that a decision subject to review under these standards is almost unchallengeable on post-conviction review. These standards typically apply to evidentiary rulings. There are some examples of what some of those rulings that abuse of discretion, clearly erroneous, and great deference apply to up on the screen. There is a far more extensive list, although by no means exhaustive, in the paper that accompanies this presentation.